Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another round of Trending Mobile Technology right here hosted on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is episode 73, coming right back at you. I've got a whole list of show notes and I have a lot more stuff. More fact or crap. Make sure you're checking me out, everybody. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Just make sure you're touching base every day. We've got stuff coming out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, we'll just see what happens. Make sure you're touching base with us. Line us up on the RSS, and we will gladly keep you informed with what we have. Also, make sure you're looking me up on Google+. PiperTheDJ at gmail.com. That's email. PiperTheDJ is my handle on Google+. And, of course, you can check me out on Piper's Tech Talk. Now, here's the good thing. I'm getting more involved on Twitter. That's right, folks. I am on Twitter as PiperTheDJ. Noticing a little bit of a trend?
Yeah.
PiperTheDJ, the handle's mine everywhere you go. PiperTheDJ is on Twitter. He is getting a little bit more active. I've made a couple associations with some other folks out there, actually, that I didn't really know existed, and that's a good thing. I'm happy to hear that. So, you know, just look me up. I do tweet. I do Google+. Probably not as much as I should, but, you know, hey, you do what you can with what you have, right? So getting on with episode 73, welcoming back to the show, by far the youngest guest I've had on. I mean, I've just turned 40, yeah, sure, but this is by far the youngest guest I've had on the show, but he has shown to be a technologist. He's proven that he's got the guts to step up and talk some tech with folks. My neighbor to the north, just a little bit, it's not Joe, but my neighbor to the north, Sam. Welcome back to the show, sir, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem, not a problem. Now, Sam, we're just going to go ahead and jump right into this. We were talking a little bit in the pre-show, and I kind of cut you off, a little bit rude on my part, and I do apologize. But what you were saying was just making a lot of good sense, and I wanted everybody to hear what's going on. A little bit of preface, folks, for those playing the home game. Sam is an LG Optimus G Pro user. Is that correct on the device?
Yes.
Okay. Now, LG has been in the news a lot this week, okay? A lot. Mobile World Congress is coming up. That is the technology show that is in Barcelona, Spain. LG is supposed to have some type of announcement. Now, there's a couple sites also that are saying that LG is going to start rolling out the 4.4 update. You know, they're also supposed to be releasing the LG Pro, no, I'm sorry, the LG G Pro 2 in Barcelona, Spain, or they're supposed to be announcing it at least. And there's also, with that announcement, plenty of rumors about the Nexus version 6 telephone device. Now, we're getting close to Nexus 7 in the number scheme. You know, the Nexus 7 for 2 years now has been the tablet. But, you know, for the LG G Pro 2 and the Nexus 6 telephone, two big topics of discussion right now for this past week concerning LG and the LG camp. Sam, talked a little bit in the pre-show about you getting back into the routing of things and some difficulties you're running into with CyanogenMod. Can you go ahead and bring that back out again for me?
Recently, I want to say last month, LG pushed out an update to G Pro phones, and apparently nobody knew what it really did, but I guess it broke root because I am having like a lot of trouble rooting and flashing my device.
Okay, now have you gone to XDA or Android Central or Android Police or any of those for troubleshooting to figure out if there's other people having this issue?
Yes, the guide that I use every time I've been rooting and ROMing has stated that it does not work. Multiple people have confirmed that it does not work for this update.
And are they working on a patch to get this taken care of, or is this something that's going to have to come down from LG to solve?
Some people are saying there's something that I did want to try. I saw it on a forum post someone posted that it's a routing method for the universal version of LG Optimus G Pro, but it works for the AT&T version, and I wanted to try it, but I wasn't sure. Not too many people have said it worked. They didn't really say anything about it, but so I just kind of have to wait and see what happens.
Once again, folks, this is prime example of the developer community coming to the rescue of the techno geek, for lack of a better term. One thing I will interject, you mentioned that this is an AT&T routing method. For those out there interested in routing in ROM, you need to be careful and make sure that you're following instructions for your particular device. For example,
yes.
My Note 2 is an AT&T Note 2, okay? I have it rooted, I have it ROMed, but it's also running on T-Mobile. I did that because, number one, I know that AT&T and T-Mobile use the same bands. Also, I researched the junk out of it because all I've got to do is flash the wrong modem or click the wrong thing, and I'm going to be bricked. When I was bricked up the last time, I blew out my IMEI because I installed the wrong modem update. I mean, it wound up soft bricking my device. So I had to go in, I had to fix that up, get it all mellowed out, smoothed out, things like that. So once again, folks, if you're interested in rooting and ROMing your device, make sure you're reading and understanding. Developer community is very nice. They're very professional. You have questions, they will gladly answer. And I'll say it again. I said this once back in the early numbers of the show, where if you run into a problem that nobody else has run into, I will be surprised. Sam, could you agree to that?
Yeah, I've seen so many people. I've actually done it myself. Luckily, it was a soft brick, but it's annoying.
Right, and there's with devices nowadays, what I've understood is there is very few situations where you run into a hard brick. I've been told as of late, if you can boot your phone and get it to your main desktop in any way, shape, or form, to where the splash screen where you have the device information and stuff like that, you can save your device. If you can't get it to power up, you're kind of screwed. But in most situations, you can get your device unbricked in many, many different ways. Would you agree with that, Sam?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Brilliant. Okay, so, Sam, we talked about this a little bit earlier where LG is going to be releasing or talking about their new device, which at this point, the LG G Pro 2 in Barcelona, Spain, okay?
Yep.
They're also talking about well, if we turn the clock back a little bit and we look at the Nexus 5 and we look at the LG G Pro, the original, both are very similar in what they do. Now, granted, they're not the exact same thing, but, you know, they are very similar. And just rumored specs, what we've got floating around right here, rumored specs on the LG G Pro 2, here we go. We're looking at 1080p resolution. We're looking at a Snapdragon 800 quad-core, 3 gigs of RAM. And it's going to have it's going to be one of those things that's going to be now, once again, understand, this is speculation, okay? These are rumors. So there's no confirmation this is going to be for the Nexus 6. There is, however, a pretty hard rumor that Motorola Mobility and LG are going to come together for the Nexus 6 project, all right? Hmm. But as it stands right now, the LG G Pro 2, the rumors, 3 gigs of RAM. I mean, you know, this is one of those things where, once again, phones are getting bigger, tablets getting smaller. We're looking at a 5.2-inch screen, which is a little bit smaller than the Note 2. You're looking
a little bit
at,
smaller than the original G Pro 2.
Is it really?
Yeah, 5.5 is a G Pro.
Huh, that is interesting. Why would they go down in that?
Not sure.
Because overall, Based on what I've read, not only the developer community, but also the press community, those who have bigger devices, who decide to go to the bigger devices, like them. I mean, now granted, we're getting to a point where you get people like me that are saying, how big is too big? I mean, I can't see myself carrying 6 inches on my hip because just of what I do. But going to, see, that's, I don't know. But see, this is, it's also supposed to have this, let's see here, where is it? It's designed with a sexy slim body to combat the rumored iPhone 6. It's also supposed to have 4.4 or whatever 4.5 if that comes out in time. Price tag is supposed to remain competitive with the other devices that are out there. And, you know, they're just mirroring the pretty much the same thing between the Nexus 6 going over to the G Pro 2. So, Sam, last week I spoke about a story where there was a rumor that Project Nexus is going to get shut down sometime either this year or next year. With releases like this by LG, where they're putting out a top-of-the-line device that is definitively appealing to the average consumer, is this one, I mean, you also take into many things that Project Nexus stands for, affordability, flexibility. Granted, it's not like cutting edge, top of the line on everything, but it's a pretty darn close, you know, plus it's playing with the Google experience, you know, you got the Google sauce to play with, the pure, I mean, to my understanding, there isn't a more pure experience than Nexus. I mean, not even a CyanogenMod, and I swore by CyanogenMod for a long time. So with all this in mind, is this new device, I mean, granted you're on an Optimus now, but with these specs coming out for the G Pro 2 and maybe leaking over to the new Project Nexus, is this something that might entice you to maybe look at Nexus for your next time around?
I thought about it. One of the reasons why I didn't get the one of the reasons why I didn't get the Nexus 5 was because it just wasn't available at the time currently for like my phone and my upgrade. Mm-hmm. And I think if they are the same or close to the same, and at least for me, it really matters in the price difference. I don't care too much if it is the same or not, as long as it, I guess, performs well. Because in the long run, I'm in it mainly for the user experience. I like having high-end specs, but user experience is more important to me. So it really depends on how different it is and will it make a difference in what I'm doing.
So I guess the bottom line to this would be, what is the ultimate deciding factor besides price, okay? What is the ultimate deciding factor when it comes to a device, whether, you know, oh, it's supposed to be announced on this day, it's supposed to be released on this day, you know, how does all that factor into your field in your area? I mean, you know, still being in high school, but I mean, you know, cutting edge technology. I mean, you built your own computer. You're in the mobile space by carrying a cell phone and a tablet. You know, how do things like that factor in?
Like the upgraded specs?
Yes. What specs are the deal breakers for you? Like, you look at somebody like me who is a spec hog, okay? I can look at somebody like Mr. Old School, who's going to be on in a couple weeks, who he switched from his longtime BlackBerry to a Windows 8 device. My buddy Joe in Chicago, he did the same thing, went from BlackBerry to Android to Windows 8. Both are giving Windows 8 Mobile a good review. You know, there was more than just the workplace that enticed them to make this move. With me, one of the top things would be battery, because my device starts its day very early, and it doesn't end its day until late at night, and I have no opportunity in between to stop and put it on a charger. I mean, I tell people I've got to have 12 hours out of my device. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to keep up. My Note 2 satisfies that. So with you being in the LG camp, You know, you've got the Optimus Pro. You've got, you know, the LG G Pro 2s that are on the horizon. You've got Nexus 6 that's on the horizon. What are the deal breakers in your camp for these devices?
I guess battery, I guess RAM isn't such an issue anymore with KitKat with 4.4 because of the whole, I forgot what it was, but something that made it, the Android operating system itself use less RAM. So I guess 2 gigs of RAM is still perfectly fine. 3 gigs doesn't, in my opinion, wouldn't be needed, at least for right now. So I guess mainly the processor and the graphics, just because I play games, the graphics chip and the processor, that and the battery. As long as it lasts long and I can play all the games that I have on there for when I'm traveling or whatever, then I'm fine. And I guess speaker quality. I'm a hip hop head. I listen to music. I like music. I like hip hop, rap or whatever. And I guess speaker quality too would be a deal.
Right. Well, that's definitely something that would be important to a lot of people. I mean, if you like to listen to music, myself, I prefer to use headphones. But everybody, I mean, my boy, he listens through speakers, you know, because sometimes the ears just get tired, stuff like that. Well, I also look at it from the perspective, a lot of times I'm listening to podcasts. So, you know, headphones, music, you know, everybody might not want to hear what I'm listening to. Now, granted, as a former DJ, I always wanted to share my music at one point in time. So I can understand how sound and RAM, you know, I will agree with 4.4. Coming out, there are a lot better RAM management tools built in, and that just makes things a heck of a lot better, and that's definitely for sure. And of course, the battery, as I've already ranted about that earlier as well. Sam, a couple weeks ago, I had a good buddy, Jason Rivera. He joined me on the line, and I broke him in on a new segment of the show, and it's called Fact or Crap, and here's the way it works. During the course of a week, I read many stories, and just not all of, I don't have enough time to get them all into the show because I'm only looking at about an hour a week is what I'm wanting to produce. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the headline to you, and you at that point in time on the fly have to determine whether or not the story is fact or crap, and then we'll move forward from there, okay?
All right.
So, story number one. Google search updated to version 3.2. Meet the new Google Now and not very much more. Fact or crap?
Want to say crap?
That is crap. The actual headline cites, quote, Google search is updated to 3.2. Meet Google Now and a lot more. I have actually 2 pages worth of changes on the new Google Experience Launcher. For those of you that are playing the home game, Google Search is better known as Google Now, and the Google Experience Launcher is pretty much, for lack of a better term, it's the Google sauce. I go on record, I don't know how many times, ranting against the proprietary sauce that's on devices. TouchWiz, every time I use it, I grit my teeth about it because it's just so painful. Google Experience Launcher is a launcher that is usable in the Android space, but in order to utilize it to its best efficiency, you have to have the most latest Google search. At this point, 3.2. The launcher, which I got a hold of this story coming off the AP on 5 February, as soon as I picked this up, I threw it in. You're talking about, you can get 6 columns on your home screen. That's increased from 5. You get Airbnb reservations on Google Now. Now, granted, I don't fly, but, you know, that is something that that could assist plenty of people. Hot word detection now works in the UK and for the Canadians. You can do icon imports, app drawers, there's new animations, new voices and media volume instead of system volume. You can do customized on-demand for TV, and the list does continue. The biggest thing that I noticed in coordination with the search app as well as Google Experience Launcher is the expansion possibilities that you have in Google Now. Now, Sam, you're an Android user. How much do you use Google Now in your day-to-day?
To be honest, not that much. With my Nexus, I have a Bluetooth keyboard, so I just kind of type in stuff. And then same with my phone. I actually finally got a third-party keyboard for my phone, SwiftKey, and that's I'm more just used to typing.
Right. SwiftKey is, I swear by SwiftKey. I mean, that's the best $4 I ever spent. I use it on my Note 2. I use it on my Nexus, and I think that's the best thing. But as far as, like, information and looking for things and calendars and things like, not necessarily for the voice direction, okay? But as far as, like, calendars and some of the other tools that Google Now is capable of utilizing, do you use any of those features?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. Well, just a little bit of something. In my experience with Google Now, I have just about everything run through Google Now. It manages my calendar. It manages my school. I mean, all I got to do is pull up Google Now, and I've got the weather that's staring me in the face. It's got my agenda for the day and some various other news stories. You can customize it to where it'll do searches for you. Various other things, you know, what? Not to mention the other tracking things that are built into Google as a default. But you know, it's just this is a very good update, in my opinion, just for the simple fact that it increases the functionality of Google Now. And the Google Experience Launcher gives people – what's the word? An alternative to what has come more fondly referred, well, not so fondly referred to, as the sauce. Whether it be TouchWiz, whether it be Sense, whether it be LG, you know, with all these different devices that have their own sauce on them, this is definitely something that brings something different to the realm and society. So second story that we're going to come into with Factor Crap, Sam, is NFC versus QR code versus iBeacon in the educational space.
Crap.
That is definitely crap. Just the simple fact that with so many devices that are out there, iPhone runs iBeacon, Android runs NFC. Now, the truth of this, though, is many cities are adopting QR codes.
Mm.
I mean, we've got it down here in our historic district where if you start it and you shoot the QR code with your device, it'll give you information, you know, and stuff like that and send you on like a pictorial scavenger hunt, something of that nature. So definitely it's moving forward. Has NFC or iBeacon broken into the educational space where you're at it all, Sam, like pass keys, attendance cards, or anything of that nature?
Nope.
No. It's starting to break in here a little bit on the university space. Not a whole bunch, but, I mean, every once in a while it'll be like, okay, well, you know, here's a like Google Wallet is just shown up on the campus coffee shop for NFC. You know, and as far as iBeacon goes, for those playing the home game, you know, iBeacon is the and Apple proprietary store tracking system that is available that they utilize as well. Story number three, Sam, here we go. Mobility finds security gaps still exist in iBeacon deployments.
Fact.
That is a fact. Coming out of Boston, this one coming off of KII.com, cited 6 February 2014. Straight out of Boston, it says, quote, mobile engagement provider Mobility.com has determined significant enterprise functionality lapse to exist with current deployments of Beacon programs. Once again, folks, as cited, iBeacon is the competitor that Apple produced to go against NFC. The way it's set up is it's supposed to count and keep track and help people shop and point them in the right direction and stuff like that. Basically, what they did in this particular instance is they set this up in a, quote, micro-locationing project. And what it was supposed to do is it led to security risks. Number one, stolen stuff. Okay, I mean, these beacons, they only have a certain amount of range, you know, so obviously you have proximity that you have to deal with. You know, so they had to go in and determine, okay, so it's not as stable as you might think. You put it like a little, a small store, perhaps. You might get some good results that way. But, I mean, they were looking at like a stadium size situation that just wasn't, it wasn't holding the way that it needed to be. Overall, the finality of it, the mobile engagement provider was creating innovative solutions that drive business value. Now, because mobile is in our DNA, clients benefit from how we expertly and effectively blend the three key disciplines to unleash the power and innovation. Now, Mobility actually went on this, and they said, yeah, it's okay, but it's a work in progress. So, Sam, with technology changing the way that it is, you know, we've got NFC, we've got iBeacon, we've got QR codes, we've got Android versus iOS versus Microsoft. You know, is there a universal ubiquity or a seamless ubiquity or a common platform that all these devices need to adopt to utilize, to kind of level the playing field? Now, I know if you pick one type of feature like processor, Android's going to be at the top of that list. If you pick camera, Nokia or Microsoft is going to be on the top of that list. If you pick distribution, Apple's going to be on top of that list. Do you think that we need to keep these competitive edges with all these different things, that way people can select? Or do you think there needs to be something brought in to level these out, to make them a little bit more even?
Quite honestly, I mean, you can compare the three because they are smartphones. There are choices that people have, but they are different in a lot of ways too. So the competitive edge is nice, and I'm glad that it's there. Hopefully leaves cheaper prices in the end. But I think something to level it out would be kind of nice too.
I agree with that. Now, I know all these devices have what makes them tick. All these devices have their own plus and minus, good and bad, better, not so good. You know, but I think they need to start putting a minimum functionality on these newer devices as well, like the batteries. They've got to have certain amount, you know. People are utilizing their devices more and more and more.
Okay. Yeah.
People are demanding more of their device. I mean, sure, a lot of people look at me and they're like, Piper, how many of you are really out there? Well, I hate to break it to you, but there's more and more people like me that are getting out there than some people care to realize. Now, granted, I don't claim to be Mr. Know-It-All and the smartest guy on the block, but, you know, I think demanding certain specifications out of my device and then, you know, maybe having to compromise or change my opinion or perhaps, maybe the particular word that I need to come up with on that one is just determine that perhaps if I want one major, like we'll just say battery, okay? First, you know, this is something else that I want to get into you with. Is the battery life or the most important feature, in your opinion, worth changing an operating system? For example, you're on an LG, it's an Android device. We've talked about, you know, processor, RAM not being that important. We've talked about battery, various things like that. What would it take to get you to switch to, well, you were on an iPhone before, so what would it take to get you to switch to a Windows 8 mobile device? Seriously, I mean, just open-minded, money's not an option here. Okay, so let's just understand that. Being open-minded, what would it take to get you to switch to Windows 8 mobile?
Honestly, I think just apps, more, I guess, entertainment apps, okay. More have it a little bit more open source, I guess. Maybe not open source, but a little bit easier to get into for developing and stuff. A
little bit of customizability, right.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I will admit, I was really, really against Microsoft Windows Mobile 8 for a very long time. And that's because I sat here and I watched them put out crap after crap after crap. But I will say Windows 8 in the mobile space, or Windows Mobile 8, as it's fondly referred to, is different. And I would have to say the app support does need to be there. So with that in mind, Sam, a couple weeks ago, BlackBerry, they released 10.2.1, which is their most recent BlackBerry 10 update, and that has the ability to incorporate Android APKs into its infrastructure, or not its infrastructure, into its ecosystem. So is that, I mean, I'm not going to barter with you and say, you know, what would it take to get you to jump to BlackBerry, but do you think that... that would be an enticement, perhaps?
Yeah, totally. I honestly think that will help them out a lot if they carry through with that. Like they'll...
Right. And yeah, definitely, for sure. And I think that'll help them a lot, too. And I'm really looking forward to see what... with this new... let me back up. As Microsoft gets reintegrated, I mean, they've got this CEO change. They've got their new... direction that they're going to go. They've got the things that they want to accomplish. You know, they're getting back into the software space of things instead of the hardware, so they say at least. I would be interested to see, and I think I would be really wrong to say that, you know, well, Microsoft can't recover from this. I think they could. I mean, they've got... They're starting to move in the right direction. I mean, you're a computer gamer, right? You're a PC gamer. So yep. You've seen firsthand some of the epic fails that Microsoft has produced. I mean, just in the desktop space, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the mobile, you know, you've watched in the desktop space. I haven't owned a PC in a very long time. But, you know, I've watched the epic fails that they've made in the mobile space. And concentrating, I think a lot of problems that they've run into, not only in the desktop space, but the mobile space as well, is they weren't focusing on the software. I mean, we all watched XP come out, and we watched that get released, we watched that elevate itself to such high things, and then we were followed by Vista. And then after that, we were faced with 7, and then Windows 8. Now, majority of people that I talk to, and I agree with them, Windows 7 was ridiculous, an epic fail of epic proportions. I've talked to a couple people that say, yeah, it was okay, but a majority of people what I talk to is they just totally glossed over it. Windows 8, I know a lot of people, and I know a lot of people that are older than I am, and I know a lot of people that are older than I am that have computers. And a lot of those people that are older than I am that have computers were on either XP or 7. And now they're moving to 8, and they're lost because nothing's the same. So I think it might be a damned if they are, damned if they aren't. But getting back into the software, I think, is something that will work in Microsoft's favor for this one. Any thoughts on that one?
I've heard that they're trying to come back with it with Windows 8.12 or whatever it's going to be called. The threshold update, that they're planning on adding a start menu back, and they're planning on making it be more like how Windows 7 was. And yeah, I think if they just kind of go back to a more user-friendly mouse and keyboard interface than what it is now, which I think is more touchscreen based than anything, I think that'd probably help them out a lot.
I agree with that. I definitely agree because, you know, and last time Mr. Old School was on with me, beginning of the year, he and I, seriously, we squared off in this space, and he pretty much told me that, you know, the need or the development of Windows 8 in the desktop space is all wrong. Okay, I've used Windows 8 in the desktop space or a laptop space, and I think it's just stupid. Stupid, ridiculous. I mean, I'm not joking. I've used a Surface. I've used a Windows Mobile 8 phone now, and I think those are a little bit easier to functionalize. They're better function, more functional. That's what I'm thinking of. They're more functional than Windows 8 in the laptop space. And I think getting back to, you know, that definitive separation between the two, I think that would be something that would work in their favor. And I think that would also be something that would just put your old school computer folk a little bit more at ease. I mean, if you think about it, going from a desktop to a live tile by force, it's a little unsettling for some people. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
Quick thing coming in on the Samsung camp, the Galaxy S4 is going to start getting the 4.4 rollout, so yippee-ki-yay for that one. We've talked about LG getting the 4.4 rollout sometime quarter two. This one coming in off Digital Times, LG Android 4.4 KitKat update, schedule delay, but all older flagships will be upgraded on this one. Now, there's a number of the older LG devices that are going to skip 4.3. You're on 4.2 right now, aren't you, Sam?
4.1.
4.1. Okay, so you're going to make a pretty good jump, which is not uncommon. I mean, Samsung does it I don't know how many times, and so, you know, this is nothing that's new for any of the big players that are out there. 4.4 KitKat, it's going to have, let's see here, LG Optimus G Pro and the LG G2. There's leaked videos that are out there already. It's going to have the GSM advanced deployments. This is also actually supposed to have dates announced with it. This is something else that I just saw on Mobile World Congress. So here in the next week or so, we might have a pretty definitive time frame as to when we're going to get you up to the 4.4. Let's see here. Looks like we've got Optimus F3, Optimus F6, LG G-Pad 8.3, LG G Pro Lite, LG Optimus F7, Optimus L9-2, Optimus VU-2, and the VU-3. And it looks like... Now, looks like that's about it. I didn't see the Optimus G Pro.
I noticed some websites are listing other ones that some aren't. Because I know that both the G Pro and the LG Optimus G I've at least rumored getting the update.
Really?
So I know it's weird that some websites are listing some phones that others aren't.
Yeah, well, something else that I've run into in my checking out stuff like this. Sites like HTC, well, actually manufacturers like HTC, if their device is longer than 2 years old, they won't roll out an update for it. But see, here's the thing, is, in my opinion at least, when it comes to rolling out an update, if your device can support the update, you'd want to put it out there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, your computer, we were talking about that just briefly. You had to go from 8 to 7. Now, granted, the specs aren't that different, having to go down like that. But the bottom line is, if you've got a device on the market, wouldn't you want, I mean, as a manufacturer, maybe I'm just out of line on this one, but as a manufacturer, if you're rolling out an update to many of your devices, why not update the rest of them? And then, number two, why not make sure everybody's giving the right advice and the right information on this situation, huh?
Yeah, it's really weird how they did it too. So far, it has just been rumors, but almost confirmed. Like, it hasn't actually officially been said by LG publicly that they are updating any of these devices. It's just been rumors, but they've been really strong rumors. Mm. It's really weird situation that they've had so far with this whole thing.
Right, right. And let's see here. If you're having a hard time, this one coming back again from Digital Times, if you're having a hard time deciding between the LG G2 and the LG G Flex, for those playing the home game, the G Flex is the banana phone, which, by the way, 3 out of 4 stars on that one for most people. According to rumors, the LG Optimus 4X HD will remain on 412 because, quote, it has completed its software upgrade cycle, citing older devices have the Tegra 3 processor. Now, this is the same problem that Samsung got into with the original Nexus, where they came out and said, okay, we're not putting out 4.4 for the original Nexus because the processors aren't right. So with this one, Sam, we talked about earlier about processors being important because processors obviously are going to carry, you know, they're going to manage your battery, they're going to manage what your device does, they're going to take care of your device and how it's supposed to operate in it in its own entirety. So, you know, is this a way for manufacturers to force a device off the shelf? I mean, maybe they've got to bring it back and break it down and use the parts for something else, which is time-consuming and a waste of resources in majority of your cases. But in this type of situation, they've got devices that are out there that have older technology in them, okay? But I can't remember the last time I talked to somebody that said, oh, yeah, I can't wait to get that phone that came out 3 years ago. I mean, you know, if you're going out to look for a phone or upgrade a device, you're going to want to get a current phone. I mean, now granted that you've got folks that are out there that get the flip phones and stuff like that, which is fine. It all comes down to what you want your device to do. But these devices that have the older Tegra processors in them, Sam, is this the manufacturing way to stop supporting and telling airtime providers stop selling these devices?
I would think so. I mean, it seems really weird, and I know some devices aren't supported because of the processors in them are not being worked on. I forgot what phone it was. I want to say it was one of the older Nexus devices because the processor is a Texas Instrument processor.
Right, that was the original Nexus, the one that was manufactured by Samsung. Yes.
Yeah. And I guess they don't have a development team for it anymore and stuff like that because it's just too old. Texas Instruments stopped making processors altogether. Mm-hmm. So it could be one of two things or whatever. It could be legitimately like that they don't have support for it anymore, or they just want to get it away. Like they don't want to deal with it anymore. It's too old for them.
Absolutely, and that's definitely for sure. You know, this seems to be a running trend with manufacturers. I mean, Samsung's done it, LG's doing it, HTC's done it, where they're letting older flagship devices go in an effort to bring, for lack of a better term, the new hotness. I mean, I don't know if that's still a popular trending term now, but I mean, you know, bringing the new hotness in so that they can sell the new thing and keeping it up to date. I mean, you know, everybody's always going to be competing with Apple. I mean, you know, Apple in 2013, they sold 51 million devices. And it's just, there's people that are going to go Apple no matter what. And I think that this is a way to kind of combat against it. Not a very good way, but, you know, a kind of a way to work against the Apple mentality, and it just, you know, sometimes you got to ask, what are these guys doing? But, I mean, it does kind of make sense because, yeah, sure, the Optimus 4X, I want to say, is 3 years old. Optimus 4X HD.
Not too sure on older LG devices. Honestly, up until maybe 2 years ago, I didn't even know they made phones.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Let's see here. Looks like the Optimus 4X came out in early 2012. So I would definitely see how that would be time to retire that one because it's only got 16 meg colors, GSM, 2G network, so it doesn't even have a 3G network capability on it. You know, so Mariam Jouar, noted technologist, wrote a a hands-on, a very good hands-on for it. But, you know, it's just some of the things that are on it aren't what it needs to be to keep up with current technology. And you know, it just, you got to do what you can, what you got, and move forward from there. And you know, it just, getting 4.4, is that something that sounds exciting to you for your device, Sam? Or is it something that you just kind of, yeah, you know, I'm happy where I'm at. I got the 4.1.2 type deal.
Honestly, to, I guess to say, put it in perspective, I will probably have this phone longer if it does go to 4.4 at least, because that means that they still had support for it. It still has, or I guess, recent features, and it still makes it a little bit more useful to me now that it's going to be, I guess, faster because less RAM usage, and I just know that it has more to it than what it was when I got it, knowing that it wasn't even possibly going to be updated at all, just because LG's track record with upgrading their phones.
Right.
So it is definitely more exciting to me now that, like, I went in thinking there's probably like a 2% chance they're updating this phone, to now where it's like, oh, they're updating all their phones now, because I've seen, I guess there was a big petition to get LG to update their old phones that got enough signs.
Cool.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but recently that's when it started happening, was when they, like, hey, we're updating all of our phones.
Wow. So it's not an ultimate deal breaker, but operating system is something that is a bit of importance to you then, yes?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Going to roll into our last story here and our last statement for fact or crap. You're a tablet user, right, Sam?
Yep, Nexus 7, 2013. Yep.
2013 edition. Here we go. Final story for fact or crap. Quote, major Nexus 7 problem remains unsolved. Unquote. Sam, fact or crap?
That's kind of hard. I want to say fact.
That is a fact. And this story actually came to me 5 February, and it knocked my socks off when I read it. Quote, major Nexus 7 problem remains unsolved. This coming off the Gotta Be Mobile website, citing, quote, major Nexus problem that ran into Android 4.2 Jelly Bean rolled out back in November of 2012 is apparently still an issue, and one that Google says is still under investigation for more than a year after the problem started plaguing devices, end quote. Sam. Yep. You have a 2013 edition. If you read on in this article further, you cite where they're cited where individuals with both editions of the Nexus 7 are having the same problem. So let me pose this to you. With your Nexus 7, are you having any problems that you can report on? I mean, no matter how insignificant, before I get too far into this.
Quite honestly, no. I had one at one point, but that was, I want to say, the launcher's fault, because I was running an unofficial launcher, the Google Experience launcher that came with the Nexus 5 at the time, and I ended up having to restore my Nexus, but I don't know what caused that, but honestly, and I have heard of the problems with the Nexus. I know they're there. I know a lot of the problems with both Nexus devices, especially after updating 4.4. I have not luckily ran into any of them.
I'm going to have to echo that one and agree with that 100%. The problem that they're talking about with this is a slow charge time. Let's see. Yep. Today, the article goes in. Today, I found myself in the Nexus section of the Google product forums, and almost immediately, the thread that caught my eye is a thread titled Slow Charging Nexus 7. Now, this story does go on, and it continues on, citing how it's a problem that came out with the original Nexus 7, and is still continuing to be a problem, and there's a couple of the folks that are getting on with fixes and solutions, but I'll be completely honest, I haven't had any problems with it, with slow charging, okay? Yeah. Now, granted, I have problems with forgetting to charge my Nexus, but that's my own damn fault. But, I mean, so with this in mind, Sam, do you use the regular charger that came with your Nexus, or do you have another charger that you use?
Okay, I broke my cord. on accident. I was vacuuming. The cord yanked out. I thought I broke my Nexus. I just broke the cord. The little port got, like, bent in the wrong way.
Right.
I used the charger that came with my LG, which looks just like the charger that comes with the Note 2 and the S4 and all those phones. And then I have a game controller, the Moga Pro. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I have,
Android
yes.
controller. That comes with two cords, and I use both of those sometimes, depending on what I'm doing or where I'm at. And they work just the same as they did with the original Asus cord that came with my tablet.
Well, if you, and here's just a little bit of physics behind the devices. The stock charger that came with the Nexus is only 1.6 amp. If you look at the cable that came with the Nexus, it's actually a little bit smaller in diameter than most. And what that means is the electricity can't run down the cable as quickly, and it won't charge as quickly to get the highest potential out of your charger. Now, if you go to retailers like Walgreens is popular, Walmart, Best Buy, not really. Granted, you'll get high prices there, but honestly, the quality of what you buy isn't really up to scratch as far as I'm concerned. But some of these aftermarket USB sync cables, they're actually bigger gauge than your average. And what you can do is you can use that. And honestly, I found that it charges my devices up quick and in a hurry. I run 2 amps on all my chargers. I don't have anything under 2 amps because, granted, I've got a Nexus 7 here that I'm charging. I've got my Note 2 that I'm charging. I've got my boy's tablet and MP3 player that I charge. I've got my lady's HTC One that I charge. So I've got lots of devices that I charge. Plus, I've got her daughter's iPod that charges. It requires a 2-amp charge. So, you know, I've got a lot of devices here, and I noticed that if I plug my Nexus 7 in using a smaller gauge cable, it's going to take longer to charge, just the simple fact. I mean, it's electronic physics there. So, you know, using a bigger cable, but once again, looking at this, and there's a guy, where is it? There's a couple guys that have suggestions posted as to how to fix, you know, the Nexus 7 charging, making sure you've got a good connection, et cetera, et cetera. You know, honestly, what I can say is after reading this article, I went on a little bit of experimentation. I broke out some of my older chargers. I've got a couple 1-amp chargers. I have a couple of chargers that are below 1 amp, but I don't really use them. I also have a quick charger, which is 2.2. And I put a small cable on it. I plugged that into my Nexus, let it charge. And honestly, it didn't really charge that fast. So it is definitively speaking that the bigger diameter and the bigger gauge of your micro USB cord is beneficial. But stock isn't always what works. Now, some of the Samsung devices, they've got pins swapped around, so you got to be careful with those. But honestly, I go to Walgreens all the time. I go to Walmart all the time. And every time they have these micro USB cables, I pick up a couple. Why? Because they're bigger around. They've got bigger gauge. And they go really quick in this area. I mean, Walgreens is almost always sold out of them. Walmart's majority sold out of them because they do a lot of stuff on iPad or iPod. So, you know, they're either doing Lightning port or 30-pin. So, you know, this is just one of those things where I can understand how folks could have a problem with it, and I can understand how it could be a frustration for some folks, but Sam, where do you think this guy's coming off saying it remains unsolved? Because if it's a major problem, I mean, yeah, sure, I can understand a lot of people are having the same problem, and you and I are just a small spectrum of this problem, or maybe a small cross-section. How does this fare in? I mean, you're not having a problem with it. I'm not noticing a problem with it because I probably use non-conventional means for charging my device, bluntly stated. So I guess you know, got to be mobile. It's a reputable site. I get a lot of information off them. I get a lot of good stuff. Granted, I don't always get accurate stuff, but I do get a lot of good stuff off of them. So why publish a story like this? I mean, Nexus users know what their devices can do. Yeah, sure, they'll piss and moan about problems and stuff like that, just like everybody else. But why put a story like this out there to just for everybody to know?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, if you've, I guess, been in with Android for a while, Android devices in general, if it's one thing I've noticed is a lot of them come with aftermarket USB cords. My cord was the same as my parents and my sister's S3 phone. It looked exactly the same, different color. It's weird. You think eventually people would kind of figure out maybe it's the cord. Maybe they would try a different cord. I don't know. That's really weird.
Now, granted, I don't claim to be the Einstein of everything, okay? I am by far not an Einstein. But, you know, it just, a lot of people think, and this is a belief that I had to get myself out of long ago, if it's in the box, it's going to work, and that's the best way for it to work. I mean, there was actually a while where you couldn't get an aftermarket charger for a lot of things because it just didn't work out that way. But, you know, there's also that other side of me that is the troubleshooter, the tinkerer. You know, I do know a lot of things about a lot of different stuff, and so I can usually put a little bit of logic and a little bit of science to fixing a problem. And so therefore, you know, the first thing I think of is, okay, so if this is broken, you don't want to put a smaller gauge on it, put a bigger gauge. And a lot of times just, and I discovered that cable thing on a fluke, to be honest. I had to go to the store and get a new cable because the one that I had shorted out because they do wear out after a while. And I just picked it up and using a standard charger, my devices were charging in not half the time, but it was charging a lot less, where instead of it taking like 4 hours to charge, it was charging in three. And a little bit further analysis, and I noticed, hey, you know, bigger in diameter, so therefore it's a heavier duty cable, stuff like that. You know, so posting a story like this, it makes my eyebrows go up. It comes to my attention for the simple fact that, oh, somebody's having a problem with the Nexus, what? And so, therefore, I got to look at it and say, yeah, but, I mean, is it really a problem, or are these guys just being pansies?
Yeah, there's so many variables to it. I know there was one thing kind of unrelated to phones, real quick, is there was a test going on for hard drives and hard drive failures in different companies. The tests they were running were completely, I guess, unorthodox is a way to put it. The tests that they ran were very strange. They were running server tests on, like enterprise server tests on consumer grade hard drives. Mm. Those weren't good tests. Those were like, it was like, of course they're going to die really quick. You're not running the right tests. Kind of the same thing here. You know, like if you're just using one cord after a while, it's not going to work the right way.
That's true. That's true. I mean, yeah, you know, granted, these cables, they're not designed out of the highest grade material. You know, they are designed to fail after a certain amount of time, just like everything else that's on this earth. Yeah, I mean, if it can break, it probably will, and it'll be at the most inconvenient time. So, you know, I something else with this is I went out and I did some additional looking and various things of that nature, but I like to think that the developer community is smarter than the average Joe, all right? I really would. You know, and so therefore a simple slow charging Nexus 7 would be, you know, something. Now granted, this was taken off the product page for the Nexus 7. So I can't report whether or not it's a legitimate problem in the developer community. I can't report if it's been on the AC, the AP, or XDA. But, you know, it is something that you just kind of look at and you're just like, you know, who are you scaling this to? When you say it's a major problem, who are you polling as a major problem? I mean, are you just taking the average Joe that says, ooh, that's a cheap tablet and it looks kind of cool, give me that? You know, are you looking at the guy that says, okay, this is a Nexus 7, or, you know, and this is what I'm going to do with it, this is what I can do with it, blah, 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 blah. You know, someone who can at least think for themselves on this. And once again, it comes back to Piper. Seriously, how many of you are out there? Sam, seriously, I think you and I are kind of on the same page when it comes to this. I mean, we can troubleshoot our way around the particular problem, yes?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, once again, folks, as always, make sure you're making an educated decision based on the information that is available. That is what Trending Mobile Technology is all about. Once again, Sam, thank you very much for showing up with me right here for episode 73. As we get ready to put a lid on it, any final thoughts or final words for tonight?
No.
Not a man of many words. Not many words. You said the same thing to me last time, and that's not a big deal. I mean, I you know, that's fine. I give everybody an opportunity to say what they got to say and all things of that nature, and that's perfectly fine. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, this was episode 73 of Trending Mobile Technology. I want to thank y'all for hanging out with me. Check in next week. I've got my British UK panel coming in for my post-Valentine's Day show. From all of us to all of you on Trending Mobile Technology, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.